turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. In this time of transition that we find ourselves in, I thought that this chapter would be a very appropriate one for us to look at. Oftentimes, God calls His people to move and change and do different things, and we see in this example in chapter 3 that God has called His people to go into Canaan and to cross the Jordan and to prepare themselves, and so I see a correlation and something to maybe help us as a body to keep our focus on the thing that we need to keep our focus on, which is our responsibility to God, and to be faithful to His calling and let God be God. And so we find ourselves, and if you would oblige, we are going to look at this chapter, chapter 3, for the this Sunday and the following three Sundays after this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will dive in. Lord, we thank You again for the many blessings that You have poured out upon this body. The years pass, the people that have come, the people that You have brought or took home, Lord, the people that You used through the years in this church. Lord, we pray that New Hope Baptist Church will be faithful to Your word as long as You choose to tarry. That New Hope Baptist Church will stand on what is right and true and preach the gospel unashamedly until You come back. Lord, help us in this time of transition. Help us to do what is right and honorable to You, before You, and to this world. Lord, we thank You for the testimony of the past. And Lord, we pray for even a greater testimony for the future. Help New Hope to be a beacon of light in this dark world. Help New Hope, help us to strike a blow that will be heard around the world. Do a work that only You can do, Lord, in this body, for Your honor and for Your glory alone. Be with us now as we look into these verses. Teach us and grow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our responsibility, if you can divide this chapter up really neatly in four different categories, and four different sermons, really. The first sermon, or the first part of this, is our responsibility, which is the people of God, us sanctifying ourselves, us doing, joining the work of the Holy Spirit and letting and working and setting ourselves aside and doing the things that God's people need to do in sanctification. And the second part is to magnify Jesus, to exalt Him to to His proper place, to the supreme place, above everything else, to love Jesus more supremely than anything else in life. So we are called to sanctification, and we are joining in that process of sanctification, and then we exalt Christ to his proper place. Then the third thing is, and the fourth thing, we see the response, God's response to these actions, to our responsibilities. God's response to our obedience is that God would be glorified in verses 9 and 13, through 13. And then in 14 through 17, to the end of the chapter, we see that his word is verified. So four parts. The people sanctified, Jesus magnified, God glorified, and his word verified. That's what I think. That's what I believe is the calling of all of his churches. To do these things when he saves us and when he calls us into a relationship with him, there are things that we need to do, which is to follow him, to be obedient to his calling, to exalt Jesus above everything else. And when God's people does this, it brings God supreme glory. And he verifies his word, not just to his people, but to the world. So let's look, before we actually dive in to chapter 3, let me give you a little bit of a background of Joshua, the man. You know him. You are probably very familiar with him, but let me just give you a little bit of a background. Joshua was born in Egyptian slavery. He was born a slave. And originally, his name was Hosea, which means salvation. His name means salvation. But we see that Moses and God changed his name to Joshua in Numbers chapter 13. You don't have to turn there, but in Numbers chapter 13, verse 16, his name was changed to Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. That God is salvation. And that name meant something to the people and to what God was going to do in his people's life. He served under Moses during the journeys of the nations. And in a way, he was basically Moses' right-hand man. You can read in Exodus chapter 24. About that Moses was, every time Moses was called to do something, or to that Moses went to Joshua and said, "Come, let's do this." He was the commander of the army, if you remember, in the battle in Exodus chapter 17. Do y'all remember that? Kurt preached on it a year ago, where Moses went up on the hill and held his arm up when they were battling the Amorites, as his arms got tired, and as his arms fell, the army of Israel would struggle, and so Aaron the priest and Hur, wasn't it, that held his arms up, Moses' arms up, propped his arms up, and Joshua led that army in that great battle. And so he was a military man, a commander of the army of God, a leader into battle, and led Israel into battle. He was one of two men, which is probably his most famous or the thing he gets recognized for the most. He was one of two men that trusted God implicitly when they went over into Canaan for the first time and came back with the reports. Y'all remember. We learned this as children. This is basic Bible knowledge when Joshua and Caleb came back, and the other men were saying, "No, there's giants over there. No, we can't do this. It's not time yet." It was Joshua and Caleb that stood up and said, "God has delivered this people into our hands. And if we do what He is telling us to do, if we are obedient to this, He will deliver this." That was in Numbers chapter 14. And as a result of that obedience, y'all know this, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that God granted to enter into the promised land. They were, God's people were sent back into the wilderness for 40 years. Till the generation passed away. But it was Joshua who and Caleb, but Joshua who led the people into the promised land. The theme of this book is quite simply God giving Canaan to the people of God. That there was an inheritance, a land that God had for these people. And it's a book of how that happened. What happened in this, that God gave this inheritance to His people. That they had to follow the Lord. And what happened in these trials, in the battles, and in the blessings of this transition, of the giving of this land. There are problems. As you read through this book, there are problems that the people of God face. And I think it's problems. I think the book is extremely practical, not just for our church today, this morning, but I think it's very practical for Christians as a whole. Because there are problems that many believers that we face all the time. We don't, and we reject here at our church the health and wealth prosperity gospel. We know God takes His people through trials, through hardships, through battles. We don't believe that the preaching of the health and wealth gospel, we do not believe that is the real gospel. We reject it and say overwhelmingly it is a false gospel. It is untrue and has harmed many, many people. And in this book, we see this struggle that even though God gives great blessings and God gives gifts to His people, there are still struggles. It's the working out of salvation. It's the working and battling against our flesh and against the fallen world and against the enemy of God's church, which is Satan. And so we see this chapter after chapter after chapter in this book. But I think there are too many believers that are really caught in the wilderness, that are really caught in the 40 years of wandering, that they are between almost in their spiritual lives, that they have been set free from the bondage of sin and they are saved. But they have not gone and crossed over to what God has called them to do. Every believer, every Christian is called by God. And so I think that many believers are kind of caught in between this spiritual journey, that they're kind of in the wilderness. How do we enter? How do we go into this? How do we go into what God is calling us? As individuals, as families, and as a church, how do we take steps following and being obedient to God in Him calling us. Sometimes that means change. Sometimes it means great change. Like we are about to experience here at our church. Sometimes it means change in your family. We were talking as a family just this week, and we were sharing about the blessings that the kids were sharing with Beth and I, how blessed they feel to be to live in Marianna, and how they we have struggled many times in the last 15 years. And wondered, Lord, do we need to go to China? Do we need to go to somewhere else? Is it, Lord, what are you calling us to do? And our kids were just sharing just how thankful they were to be here in this place, to be in Marianna. And so we were thankful for this, and we were talking about this, but we were talking about that sometimes God does call us to change, to move, to go other places. Y'all know that. Many of you have experienced that, and it's a hard thing to do. And I think that this chapter, the chapter 3 in Joshua, I think will help us see a practical way to walk, to hear God's calling, and to follow Him in obedience. And I hope it helps you as much, really, I hope it helps you more than it has helped me. I hope it speaks to you more than it has spoken to me. So let's dive in. We're going to look at these first 5 verses. God calling us to sanctification. He is calling us to be a people that's sanctified, meaning set aside, meaning holy, consecrated, that we are a people that we are going to be different. But different not just for different sake, but different because the Lord has done something in our midst, in our presence, in our lives. And so in these first 5 verses that we are going to look at today, we are seeing that God has called a people, He has saved these people, and He is calling them to sanctify themselves, to set themselves aside for what He is going to do in their midst. Let's read this. Let's read the first 5 verses. It says this. Then Joshua, verse 1 of chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before crossing over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's just get a little bit of a background. Just a touch. We see in the first 2 chapters leading up to what I just read, really we see several things happening. They're really quite simple. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, we see that God speaks to Joshua. God comes to Joshua and says, this is what we need to do. And then in chapter 1, verses 10 through 15, we see that Joshua goes to the people and says, this is, and he speaks to the people. He says, this is what God has said. Then we see in chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and 18, that God's people recognize. They see it. They confirm that. They say, okay, yeah, we hear you. We see God moving too. They confirm this calling out of God and His people. They recognize God's hand at work. Now, just as a side note and just for a little bit of humor, and as I was looking and studying, I've been trying to read. If you look at chapter 1, verse 17, it's a very humorous verse. It says this, in their confirmation of God calling, it says this, that God's people answer Joshua and they say, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Now, I started thinking, and I was even looking, going back and looking at it, and I was thinking, Lord, what did they really think they listened to Moses? And I was looking at example after example after example after example, and I thought, man, if I was Moses and the people stood up and said, Joshua, just like we heeded Moses, we're going to follow you. I would have gone, I'm out of here. I don't sign up for that. I want y'all to do better than how you treated Moses. But just a little humor. In chapter 2, y'all know the story. Joshua sent the spies in and they made a covenant with Rahab and her family. And said, you know, when this happens, we will keep this covenant. We will treat your family well. Just do what we say. Everyone that's in this room, they will live and survive and do what we say. They made a covenant. And so now we see them on the verge of crossing over in chapter 3. We see God's calling them. And Joshua has stood up and said, listen, you need to get ready for this. But the first verse, in this first verse, we see them waiting on the Lord. Let's read the first verse again. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. And they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. Joshua was saying, are you ready? Are you ready? But let's just wait. Are you ready? We need to wait. Let's be calm. Let's just wait a little bit. When I think and stop and think about all the things that God has done here in this sanctuary, it's overwhelming. The baptisms, the marriages, the sending out of missionaries, the pastors that came before me, the people that came before me, the people that I don't even know. It's an amazing thing what God has done in this building. When I think about the work to the kingdom of God that's been done, it's overwhelming. It's easy to see God moving. It's when you look back and see the things and the trials and the crisis and it's hard. and difficult. And it's a struggle even now. It's not a light thing. But I believe it's time. I believe that. I believe it's time to let good and kindred go, as we just sang. To let good and kindred go to follow. That we have stopped and we have waited. And I've thought, why did He tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready, but let's stop right here? Why did they stop at the Jordan after such good news? You know, I looked up and I tried to estimate, and I read the distance between Acacia Grove and the Jordan River, and it's less than 10 miles. It's less than 10 miles. Depending on what route they took, it could have been, it's between 8 and 10 miles. But you know, so often problems arise in our lives, in the people of God's lives, when we push things too hard, when we go ahead of God, when we jump and go before Him, instead of waiting and patiently waiting. And waiting on the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? It's time. Are you ready? Let's wait right here for the Lord. To not push ahead. To wait and let Him go in front. It may be exactly what God wants us to do. So often, as Christians, we know what God is wanting us to do, but sometimes we go ahead. It's not the time for us to do these things. And I believe to be a successful church as a whole, a body, a covenant body, we must learn to find God's will and do it in His timing. If you would, hold this place. If you would, turn to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 through 3 says this. 40, 1 through 3, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined my ear and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my steps. And He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. There's no panic in heaven. God is sovereign. And it is right to be ready, to sanctify yourself, to get ready, and to wait until He goes forward, and then to follow Him. And then in verse 2 and 3, we see something very interesting. We see that unity in the body is a good thing. It's a great thing. But it's not necessary. Unity is wonderful, but it's not necessary. You know, when they crossed over the Jordan, you know this, or you should know this if you don't. Not everybody went. Not all the 12 tribes went. 2.5 tribes said, no, we like it. We're going to stay right here. They stayed. Reuben's, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh stayed behind. They took their time to let God move upon the people in their midst. Everyone had a job and knew what needed to be done. You shall set out from this place and go after. Let's read it. In verse 2 and 3 it says this. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Our church, in some ways, we can take practical lessons from this. God has called each believer here. We believe in priesthood of the believers. And each person here, each person in this family, has a specific job. And we all need to pull together. And I pray that be so. And it has been years in the making, way before I was here. And God just has saw fit that it's now time. The danger comes, and when the body and the members start following opinions instead of the Spirit of God. When the right foot goes this way and the left foot goes that way. And if there's something that is unbiblical, God's people need to stand up and say, this isn't right. But if it is something that God is moving in our midst, sometimes we need to cry a little bit, be quiet a little bit, and walk. So we see in the first verse that waiting on the Lord, even though we were preparing and preparing and preparing, is a good thing. In verses 2 and 3, we see that unity is a wonderful thing, a good thing, but it's not necessary. Verse 4 is a verse that we see that we must keep our eyes, our gaze on the Lord. In verse 4, it says this, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. And do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. A space. This shows that the ark should always go before them, and that they must not go before the ark, that they must be looking towards that, that we must be looking towards Christ. The ark symbolized God's presence amongst His people. It was Christ's presence with them. And that God went before. And that they followed Him. For you have not passed this way before. That they had never gone this way before. And truly, life is, in a way, a continual crossing over, isn't it? If you live life, if God blesses you long enough and you live life, it's a continual crossing over. As our kids grow up, that they are going to continuously face life decisions. And they are going to have to make decisions. And many of you that God has blessed you with a long life, y'all have seen a lot of crossing overs. We must learn to watch and wait for God and follow Him in all of the crossing overs. We need the Lord to go before us, don't we? We should pray for that. We should beg for that. God, please go before us. Lord, please help us with this. Lord, please, we don't want to do anything apart from You. Lord, help us. But we don't, do we? So often we run out ahead and do our own things. If you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Lord, please help us. Lord, please go before us. Lord, lead us. Help us to follow You no matter what it is. Help us to follow You. You know, we hear and the gospel that is so prevalent in our society today is God wants you to be happy. Where is that in Scripture? He is more concerned about your holiness. He wants you to be obedient. Now, does He want you to enjoy Him? Absolutely He does. He wants His children to enjoy Him. In Isaiah 42, please be familiar with this passage. This is a great passage. Let's just start with verse 14 of chapter 42. It said, I held my peace a long time. I've been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetations. I will make the rivers coastal lands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. Hallelujah! Thank You, God! Thank You that You will take the blind, you and me. That's who He's referring to. You and I, we're the blind. And that He will lead us. Amen? This is, if you're familiar with Handel's Messiah, that's where I got this. They sing one of the songs in Handel's Messiah straight out of this. They sing this. I will make the crooked straight. I will lay the mountains low, and I will lift up the valleys. Hallelujah. I will lead you down paths you do not know. Verse 17. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carven images, who say to the molded images, you are our gods. Do you know what that's saying? Those who trust in other things, they're going to be ashamed. Those who trust in your... Listen, you trusting in your own experiences, you trusting in your own intellect, you trusting in your own strength, you trusting in somebody else's, you trusting in other things other than God, you will be ashamed. Trust in God. Trust in God. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. And then verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The last verse. I'm not Joshua. I'm not even pretending. I'm not even putting myself here, but I think there's practical implications. I can say this to you. Prepare your hearts. Prepare your homes. And we need to ask the Lord to prepare our church. How? How do we do this? The Scripture says by sanctifying, by consecrating, by separating ourselves. What does this mean? How do we do this? Listen, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, if you are saved, ask God, ask Him, Lord, please grant me repentance. Please expose. Please show me sin in my life. Please do these things. Please help me. Please show me the areas in my life that I have not turned over to you. Please do this. Do you want to do that? Lord, show me the areas that I need to turn over to you. People of God, sanctify yourselves. Repent of sin. Repent of sin. What does this mean? It means communion with God. Believers have been chosen. You have been called out. You have also been called out to be sanctified. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that the will of God is for you to be sanctified. It is right, you as a child of God, for you to go to the Lord and say, Lord, please show me the areas in my life that I lack. Please grant me repentance in those areas. Lord, please change me. What do you think the Almighty will do? What? You, if you are His child, He's going to deliver that. He will do that. It is right for us to run to Him, to say, God, please do this. Don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me to the way I think, even if it may be better than a lot of people, to my own strength, even though I may be stronger than a lot of people, to my own experiences, even though I may have had great experiences with you, Lord. God, don't leave me to myself. God, please expose sin in my life, in my family's life. Help me to change for the rest of your Christian life. You will see this over and over and over again. God is leading us. I really believe that. As hard as it may be. And I'm asking you, are you ready personally? Is your home ready? And is our church ready? Are you prepared to encounter the Lord? I pray you are. I pray that the Lord won't just turn us over to ourselves. Lord, please do a great and mighty work. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings. Lord, for the men and women that have gone before and that have been faithful to the calling and have been faithful to this body and been faithful more than that, been faithful to You, even with all the imperfections. God, thank You for where You have us today. And God, I'm asking. I pray that we are asking. That we follow You as we move. That You go before us and You go behind us and You hedge us in on the sides, Father, that we are following You. For Lord, we pray, God, please, Lord, that we follow no person. That we follow no government, no system, no philosophy. Lord, that we follow You. And that the gospel will go out all over the world. Lord, please help us. Start with us today. Start with me. God, help us to be sanctified and called out. You've already saved us. You've already put this calling out in our lives. Help us join You in this. Help us to stop with the wilderness wandering. Follow You. Thank You for this morning. Help us, Lord, in this transition. For only You can do that. Only You can give grace and mercy and patience and love and fellowship and only You can do that, Lord. It doesn't matter where we stay, where we go, what we do. Only You can form a body. Only You can do that. It's not built around one person or even a group of people. Lord, that's a club. Only You can form a body. Only You can make a family. God, please do that. And carry us. As You always have and as You will. We thank You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.